I see it all now. What we gotta do is we gotta snag that tall dude and stomp the shit out of him, and we'll find out what the hell is going on up there. Yeah, we'll lay that sucker out flat and drive a stake right through his goddamn heart.
You gotta be shitting me, man. That mother's strong.
Where he came from, nobody knows. His evil spread like a plague, destroying towns, maiming and killing. We called him the Tall Man. At first we thought he was just an undertaker. His hordes pillaged graveyards, rooted up the bodies, and spirited off the dead to a place worse than hell. We were just three friends. Jody was taken from us, turned by the Tall Man into an alien form. His younger brother Mike, I've tried to protect as he's grown. The Tall Man wants to transform him into one of his kind. My name is Reggie. I was an ice cream vendor by trade. Now, I'm a soldier. Soldier in a war against his army of the living dead.
Everyone, welcome back to Master of the Universe podcast. It's Joey, along with Christopher J and the Man Beast Gabriel. And today we're going to be talking about Phantasm 3, released in 1994. Written and directed by Don Coscarelli, starring Reggie Bannister, and the return of A. Michael Baldwin and Gloria Lynn Henry. Bill Thornberry, and of course, Angus Scrimm, dude. So we actually did this fucking podcast a couple of fucking days ago, but there's a motherfucker on here who likes to play games, right, Chris?
That's correct.
That would be correct. So Gabe, dude, thanks for coming back on the show, man. This has been a lot of fun bullshitting with you on the fucking Phantasm films, all of them. Up to this point, we're doing this on April the 8th, and it's Alexi Lyle's birthday. Happy birthday, Alexi. But also, we've seen them all already, and we've been bullshitting with them. But can you tell us just any history you have? I'm not even going to ask Chris this question because it's his first time watching it. But do you have any history with Phantasm 3 as far as when it came out or watching it when you were younger, man?
Well, like you said, we already did this podcast. So like what I said before, I hardly even remembered it up until I had to rewatch it again. Mm-hmm. There was just like a couple of little tidbit parts that, you know, I remembered. More Sentinels in there, more of Reggie, more on the search for Mike and Jody, you know, that kind of thing. But when I rewatched it, yeah, it's, you know, it didn't really want to keep my interest as much as part two or one did.
Yeah,
it wasn't that great. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, it was to me, it was a fun watch, but they weren't. It wasn't a part one or part two. There was a lot of problems we have with it, but We do have some news. It was pretty funny. I was getting ready to post part three, but I had posted part two. And whenever we do these on Instagram, y'all can follow us. But Gloria Lynn Henry actually liked one of our posts. I thought that was pretty cool because it's like you never really see, like, you know, at least too often, unless they're like a big page, get likes from like the stars from movies and shit like that, you know. So Gloria Lynn, if you ever listen to this, which you probably won't, you know, you were pretty awesome in this film. Chris didn't like you because you were a tough girl, and he don't like tough girls. But
and for those that don't know, Gloria Lynn Henry is Rocky.
That would be correct. So, Chris, dude.
Not Balboa, but Rocky in Phantasm
3. Oh, yeah, dude. So, your mic sounds like it's getting itself over right now, but okay. So,
bad.
Huh?
Is that good or bad? Because I've got the mic right by my mouth. So.
Yeah, because you're just hitting it, you're beating it up like a speed bag, just like the real Rocky Balboa, dude. You know, that is, you know, so. I'm not doing anything. He likes to, like, we're doing like a podcast that Chris likes to argue. I don't know why he does that. But anyway, Chris, so you put this on, dude, the first time you watch. Well, you actually watched it a few times like me, right? To try and get into the swing of things.
Yes, I did.
So what was your thoughts, you know, watching the motherfucker, dude? We're doing a podcast here. You're going to have to, you know, get your ass over there.
Well, just overall, I popped for Mike, the real Mike, being back.
I almost forgot.
And
yeah.
I popped.
Yeah, I almost forgot.
yeah, it's easy to forget because he comes back, but he's the better part of the movie. He's not present. But at the same time, I also love, you know, the brief instances of Jody, which I pop for that too. How the fuck do you not? But too much comedy, too silly. I mean, the kid is a cheap ripoff of both. Kevin, what's his name?
McAllister.
Kevin McAllister. I knew it was Kevin something.
Kevin Owens.
I knew it was some Mick last name. I just didn't know what. So Kevin McAllister and Marty McFly. He's like a chip second rate version of those two combined. You know, we already seen both of them in the recent past prior to this movie. And you know, it's like, you know, I'm just not buying Reggie being all horny for Rocky the way she looked then. You know, maybe the way she looked in part five, but not in part three.
Yeah, we'll get to part five, but it's funny you say that. You know, I'll just say it now in case I forget. Yeah, I saw it in part five. I thought she looked a little bit, you know, a little bit. She had a little bit more meat on her, so I found her a little bit more attractive than here. But, you know, here she's kicking ass. And I remember this movie the most as a kid because I saw me some titties and shit. And I was like, whoa, you know. And back then, whenever you got to see, you know, any kind of titties, it was you were going to pop for it, dude. So I was like, okay. And then she's getting all into it. Reggie's got her doggy style and everything. I'm like,
I kid you not. The little kid, though, I mean, man, Rocky was really nice to look at, you know. Mm-hmm. A strong woman, though, but definitely nice to look at. But, you know, the little kid, though, Tim, you know, the Home Alone ripoff that, you know, Chris is saying, he is definitely he kept my interest in there because I was thinking, like, you know, this kid is probably carrying some fireworks in his back pocket. He's ready to, he's ready to do something. You know, he carried around a damn frisbee with razor blades on it. Ended up slicing up like one of these scavengers out here in the damn movie. And I thought it was pretty badass.
Yeah, the scavengers. We'll talk about them a little bit. So that the one, you know, Reggie comes along and he meets them, and I was just laughing on how dumb, like, you know, some of the decisions are in the film. Is like, okay, you know, if the place is abandoned, the town that they're in, and they end up throwing them in back of that, throw them in the back of that muscle car, and they go to basically scavenge and, you know, rob the house and where Kevin McAllister's at, you know, Tim, and he just kicks their ass. And They're really interesting. I know it's like it's too much comedy, but like as far as like this film goes, like I had a lot of fun with them just coming back, and it was like it was entertaining. Because when you see some of the other films, they don't have, you know, like at least these characters, like I like these characters a little bit better than the helpers for the Tall Man in part two. Even though I like that film way more, these are way more memorable, I think. And they're distinct, and it was just funny them coming back every time and getting fucking ran over, their throat sliced, and the ball going through that fine-ass chick's face towards the end after she comes back to life for like four or five times. But did y'all dig them, or did they just annoy the shit out of y'all?
You know, honestly, for me, I thought they were it was like a nice, you know, side comedy, you know, in comparison to like his regular goons that the Tall Man has, you know, where he has the guy in the with the gas masks, and you know, some of the caretakers that walk around, they just painted face and they just have like this blank look on their face. These characters were a little more animated, even when they were taken in, like, you know, they were turned into like zombie drones. They, you know, they were still animated. They were laughing the whole time when they were on a car chase.
Yeah.
You know, trying to run, trying to run another car over, you know, trying to run it off the road, and they were laughing, having a great old time. You know, they're dead, but the hell, they're still having a great time. Yeah.
they were laughing more when they were dead than they were alive. And yeah, I popped when, because I wasn't expecting them, because I saw the film a lot as a kid, but I hadn't seen it in forever. So when they came back in that pink hearse and like they looked to the side and they're all three are in the front seats smiling, I started laughing. I'm like, oh, this is great. This is gonna be this is gonna have fun. So Chris, what did you think about the Three Stooges? What I call them?
I didn't care for them, honestly, just because, like, you know, I don't know. You know, I'm kind of in this. I guess is why I like the paranormal horror films so much, because I don't know, they keep the dark energy in them, you know. And it's fine to have a little comic relief here and there, you know. There's nothing wrong with that. But I felt they could have done it in a different way, better way, smarter way, whatever. And also, like, I just don't understand, why are people like that? Those are the kind of people who hang around cities, you know, big cities, and do, you know, scams and stuff like that, or maybe rob people and they're not looking, stuff like that. Like, to me, people like that aren't going to be in some abandoned ghost town, you know.
Okay, I can't tell you no, and that mic is just really getting itself over tonight. But that's not the star of the show.
Am I too loud or am I too soft?
Chris, you just move around so much that every time you move and you do, you just hear, and then you know, I've told you like 30 times, and you're like, "Am I too low?" No, it's just you like what you did right now. That shows up on the mic, dude. So I don't know if you know that, but
like, I'm just sitting here. I'm not even moving.
Okay, okay. I believe you, Chris. I believe you. Anyway, So, yeah, this one, I had a lot of fun with it. I mean, it wasn't like it's one of those Phantasm films I'm not going to, like, watch all the time or anything like that. It's always part one and part two for me, at least now. This one, like, it changed a lot. And, yeah, it was a little too much jokey. So the thing about these Phantasm films that I found as, like, a trend with at least the last, you know, three of them, three, four, and five, was that they seem like they could have been condensed together, and I would have, like, and I'm not one of those people that's like, that's a typical guy that's going to say, oh, I liked it, but they should have done this and that or whatever. And this feels like one of those films where, like, I would like to say, you know, have some input where, you know, they should have done this more, done that more. Like, you know, one of the problems I had is that they have Tim, who's, you know, who's a likable character, but it's like all he is a replacement Michael, but Michael's back already, so it's like, why do we have this other guy? But then Gabe was saying, like, well, yeah, I mean, this is the kind of person that you would have if the tall man's taking over cities. So I was like, okay, yeah, or towns or whatever, because his story's pretty cool, where he talks about the tall man came and he's just there by himself, and he's just like, he's basically, that's what he does now, is kill scavengers that come to his area, and, you know, basically protects his own house and shit. So I was like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. But then also, it's like, you bring the real Mike back, and these are, like, the way the Michael's written from part two and part three, he just feels like a totally different character. And then he's not even in the film for the most part till, like, the last 50, or till, like, minute 50, the last 40 minutes, because these are, like, 90-minute films. But, I mean, how did y'all feel about this Michael returning, being, like, as far as being different from part two? And, I mean, did y'all feel like he was kind of absent in the film for the most part till the end as well?
Yeah, I did.
I kid you not, like, from the previous film, I kid you not, the actor that ended up playing Mike, I felt he was more in charge, and I explained that a lot, that was what was bothering me throughout that whole movie.
Yeah.
That he was in charge, he gave orders, he was the leader, he was in demand, he was saying what it was, and this is what was going to happen. With or without you, I'm going to do this. Coming to part three, you know, then we get the old Michael Baldwin, and we get the old Mike back, and then all of a sudden it's like you just kind of, while you're watching this, you're kind of forgetting that about the whole leadership and thing like that. You're just, like, excited just to see that the original actor back.
Yeah.
So then you start watching him, and then now you're starting to realize, like, oh, now he seems a little more reserved. He's a little more, not timid, but he's just a lot more not as in charge. He's just like, let me listen to what you have to say. Yes. And he, a lot of more shaking his head or understanding, I guess, compared to the part two where he's just like, nope, I don't care what you say. I'm gonna do it, and that's what's going to happen.
I, I always laughed, and we talked about it before, at the, you know, the beginning of the films, they always kind of like have that comedy, but this one was real, like, real funny, because it kind of like takes it, all the Phantasm films, I think, except for maybe, well, we'll get to five, but all of them so far, they immediately take place after the previous film, and it's funny because they all age, you know, quite considerably from film to film, so it's always like, oh, it's immediately after, and when we see this one, it's like they do all the same shit from part two, but it's, you know, A. Michael Baldwin instead of James LaGrosse doing that whole little in back of the hearse, like, you know, Reggie, you know, that. And I thought that was really cool because it was like, oh, I remember that. Because when you watch them back to back to back, it like, they has like a, like, you notice little things like that, because I probably wouldn't have really, you know, paid attention if it had been years later, of course, and like, okay, you know, Mike's back. But it was cool to see like them like matching scene for scene from the prior film, but just throwing, you know, A. Michael Baldwin in there. And the, we talked about it too, that the four barrel shotgun's back, and then he shoots down like all the dwarfs. they fall like one at a time from the tree.
I kid you not, that was like the most exciting part probably out of this whole damn movie. part two, I was so excited that he built himself a four barrel shotgun. I was like, oh, that has got to be the coolest thing I have ever seen. I want that. That is great. I was waiting for him to use it throughout the whole movie. He used it once. And if we remember, he shot the damn doors that were coming after him near the end of part two. He shot the damn doors. He threw the gun down, even though he had a whole sash. He was wearing the sash,
yeah,
full of the shells. And then, okay, that was it. I don't know why he threw the gun, but that was it. You know, the whole house burnt down. You know, the whole thing was up in flames. You know, that was it. We didn't see anything else with that gun. That was it. Coming in the beginning of part three, there's the whole car wreck, whole explosion. The girl that they were chasing after, that they were trying to help, Liz, she's dead, which was a disappointment. You know, they struggled all through part two trying to keep her alive or trying search for her, and then she dies. All of a sudden, they go ahead and find Mike, and Reggie comes along, picking his ass up, like, oh, man, I'm gonna go ahead and get you out of here. You know, let me help you. Oh, no shit. There's my gun. My four-barrel shotgun, the one I threw in that damn house. Sure, I'm going to go and pick that up. How he got out there, I'm not sure why, but we should just be happy that that damn gun came back. I know I was. So he picks up the damn gun. He hears noises up in this tree, mm-hmm, decides to point it upwards, fire it. All of a sudden, one by one, these doors start, or now, I think in part three, now they call them lurkers. Mm-hmm. Or I think that's what the little boy ends up calling them. The little boy Tim ends up calling them lurkers. So they end up falling from the tree in the most ridiculous way, and I'm just like, really? You know what? I'm just happy that that damn gun came back, because that's pretty neat, though.
Like they're all spaced out way in a wide radius circumference of the tree branches, and yet somehow a straight-up shot from four barrels gets all of them.
I kind of felt like it needed like a comedy tune at that moment, you know, a drum roll or just some kind of weird comedy noise there.
But it doesn't help though that Reggie himself, just in and of himself, the nature energy that he gives off when you see him on screen, when you listen to everything, there's an inherent lightheartedness to him. You listen to him talk, you listen to him say things, like even in the first one, he says, spread the steak through his goddamn heart. You know, like even that, you just want to burst out laughing seeing that. So when you then add someone who he's a good, seemingly good-natured, likable, laughable person, and then you have him do something like that, it doesn't help.
Yeah.
Yeah, working on it.
I'm just a sitting here at midnight.
Right.
And I've been sitting here till noon. You see, my lady left me alone. shippy pretty. Baby left me blue.
During the 90s, and whether if it's horror or comedy, I think that was just the trend for just comedy to kind of make its way. I think it was probably just a way of like making any movie a little more lighthearted, so that way you have a little more fun. Mm-hmm. So instead of trying to be so serious, you know, with Phantasm 3, you know, Lord of the Dead, you know, it came out in 94. Like I was saying, you had Jim Carrey, you know, with the mask type movies. You had Tales from the Crypt, you know, like Bordello of Blood. I don't know if you remember that, how ridiculous that was.
I watched that shit the other day, actually. That one and the one.
Did you really?
Yeah, and then what's the other one called? Demon Knight or whatever.
I love Demon Knight.
Yeah, I used to be a bigger fan of Bordello of Blood because of, like, the fine-ass bitches. And then, like, just recently I had watched Demon Knight, like, in full, just, like, before I watched it. And I was like, man, Demon Knight is so badass. You know, it's like, I was laughing, but yeah, I had a really good time watching that shit. But yeah, a lot of films this time, like this one in Army of Darkness, they all have that same feel to where it's horror movies, but it's kind of like a little ridiculousness. And you can kind of tell Coscarelli kind of, like, took a lot of ideas with, the shotgun, because, you know, Ash has the shotgun. Which one came? Well, no, this one. Oh, this one actually came out in '88, and I don't know if part two '88, and when he had the four barrel, but Ash had it. But I think Ash was a little bit better than Reggie, of course. But you can tell a lot of similarities there for both films. But I mean, with Army of Darkness, it's like it seems like it's meant for that. This one, it doesn't. It's just odd for a Phantasm film to take on that gimmick, but
I think it's just, like I was saying, I think it was just the trend. Mm-hmm. And usually, like, you know, you don't want to, with most, like, anybody really, that they usually try to follow the trends because that's what's popular, and they want to make sure they get that attention on what they want, so they'll add a little bit of they to fall out of the trend would just kind of mm-hmm. maybe not make it so attention grabbing, I guess.
Yeah. Well, you had mentioned about that Tim actually gives the gimmicks in the movie names. He calls the dwarves lurkers, and the spheres are called sentinels, or at least what he calls them. I don't think, right, in the other films they actually call them by that name. I think it's the only time that they're addressed like that. But we had talked about that, how in the first film you don't see any of the lurkers' faces, and then, like, in 2 and 3, you start seeing them a lot. This one, you see the faces a lot. Like, I laughed when, you know, when I put this on, and, like, you were talking about Liz getting, like, our face chewed off, and I was like, oh, it's fucked up, you know? And then Reggie goes, hey! And then that fucker turns around, and he's like, doing that little walk down the hill. I started laughing because it was, like, frightening and funny at the same time. And that's, like, this whole movie is like that, to where, yeah, it is a little scary, but it's more funnier. It's more funny than anything from beginning to end. And it does have some good spots. I mean, the tall man, we haven't really talked about him much, but he's good as always. And, like, my favorite, like, it's consistent with him that at the end he's always going to have a really good line at these films. And I really popped when they put him in that little cryogenic freezer and he freezes the ball and they think it's all over. And then Rocky takes off and they go back in there. And then, like, Reggie's, like, being pinned against the wall with all these balls. And I'm like, why don't they just kill him? And Tim's there, you know, throwing with his six shooter about to shoot him. And he's like, no, Tim, you know, get out of here, it's over. And then he bursts through like a door, and he's all like, it's never over, you know. And that where did that window come from? Pulls
exactly.
Tim.
that's what pissed me off about that. You know, I was waiting for you to say that while, as you were explaining it right now. I was like, you better mention that damn window. That whole room was enclosed. It's a brick wall. the kid is standing in the hallway. If you look at the damn hallway, there is nothing. There is no window there. There is no window. Man, damn. Kid ends up going through a damn window. I was like, oh, shit. So now they're just making up whatever the hell they want. All right. Well, go ahead and see what happens in part four now.
Yeah.
See how much more ridiculous they get.
When I hear y'all talking about the window, I picture a meme of Debo going, "What window?"
Yeah.
What window, boo?
Yeah, what window?
If we're talking about the tall man, I think I will tell you this. As much as I'm critical of a lot of the humor overtones of this movie, I will say they do an excellent job with the imagery, especially of the tall man himself.
Yeah, yeah.
The main thing, like at the beginning of the movie, when they show him sitting in that old school throne antique chair and this army of sentinels and one in his hand, and then they show him just in slow motion walking down a mausoleum hallway with his eyebrow.
Oh yeah, that's great. Yeah, that's great. I forgot. I mean, you forget stuff like that. We haven't even talked about Jody, but Jody makes a return in the film. But yeah, the tall man is that imagery is really good, where he's in the monolith. I can't say the word right now. Say it for me, Chris. Mausoleum. Never mind.
Mausoleum.
Yeah, mausoleum. And he's like sitting on that throne, and he's got. And I ain't talking about Elvis's throne, but he's sitting on the throne, and it just looks badass. It's like, I think there's candles around him and everything. And he's got the ball, and he's like looking at it. I think like it even opens up, and there's the brain in there. I don't know if. I don't remember.
Was he massaging the brain too?
Yeah. He was. Yeah. So, even in this film, they throw the thing with the Phantasm films. They'll add a little bit more to the lore. Is it this film or it might be four? I might be getting them confused that they're showing, the dwarf that they shrink them, and that's the reason why the brain gets small, and then they put the little brain in the sphere, and that's why the brain's in. So they all kind of are connected together, that you're a dwarf and you're a spear. If you get shrunken down by the tall man, so you're basically two entities now. You're like a zombie little dwarf, and then you're like the brain sphere, and it's kind of crazy and all that shit. I don't know if we talked about it last time, but I was laughing about the beginning of it where Mike's in the hospital, and that nurse is telling him to go to the light, and he ends up stabbing her in the neck, and then Reggie walks in, and there's fucking that more yellow blood that goes all in his mouth and shit. So it's like, and then that's a consistent joke for the rest of the series. But Jody's back, and the same thing I was saying, I'm not one of those people that likes to say oh, I wish they would have done this, that, or whatever. But I would have liked to seen a lot more Mike in the film instead of Tim, even though Tim was a good character. I'm like, you're gonna bring back the real Michael Baldwin, and you're not gonna use him that much. And then you got Bill Thornberry as Jody finally coming back. He wasn't in part two at all, and now he just shows up, and it's just we see him when he's telling Mike not to go to the light, and then Mike goes to the light, and then he I thought it was stupid and funny. He's there to tell Mike, he's like, no, you can't touch me. I don't have enough strength. And he's like, I knew it. He locked on to me because the tall man finds Mike. And I'm like, well, what if you knew the tall man was going to follow you, why the fuck are you going right to Mike? You know what I mean? Stay as far away as possible from him, if you're just going to bring doom and destruction. So, but I mean, that's just me. Anyway, so you guys got anything else to say about Phantasm 3?
Man, in my personal opinion, I think, between Rocky, Reggie, and Tim, the little boy, I really kind of felt they could have ran with those characters, even going into part four. I think that they would have made
mm-hmm.
They were just a good trio right there. Even with Mike, I was glad that Mike, came back.
Yeah,
but all he did was just keep missing some more. Whatever he was doing outside of the film, whether if he wanted to be in this more consistently or not. I mean, I think we could have had a little more than just Reggie. I think just a little more diverse, just to kind of keep it split. Because every time if you notice, so far, with Reggie, he goes ahead and he meets a woman. He's all like, all right, I'm getting all excited. Going all the way up to part 3 and then part 4, he's meeting these women, but they're either leaving or they're dying on him.
Yeah.
You know, and I just kind of like to see, like, a little more diverse in this whole little movie franchise. It was great that we get some of these characters in there, but then they either die or leave.
Exactly.
So I'm not sure if this whole movie franchise is probably focused in on Reggie, but it definitely, the brothers were there, but now they've gone missing throughout the whole movie series.
Right.
That's the thing about all these films is that you meet new people, they're gone. You never really keep a consistent trend. But even in the first film, Reggie's like not even really in there that much. He doesn't seem like, you would never see part one and say, "Oh, I can't wait to see the rest of them with Reggie." You know, out of all the movie, you were like, "Okay, the tall man, Mike, Jody." You know, the black lady that shows up out of nowhere that's a maid. You know, yeah, I'm always back here again. You know, like anybody. But like Reggie's like hardly in the film. And he even dies in the first one, you know, which we'll get to in the other ones. And then like, yeah, part two, we meet Liz and Alchemy and they're gone right away. This one, you know, we got Tim and Rocky. And they're, like you say, they're great characters. But it's like they didn't do a lot with them. She ends up leaving. Tim's a pretty cool character. You know, they bring Mike back, but he's not in here that much. And he's kind of like, at the end of this, he's running away from Reggie. And it kind of like pisses me off. I'm like, Mike, you come back and, you know, y'all are all in this together, supposedly. But you're over there running off, you know, and it's just kind of like, what the fuck, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Like, Reggie's a cool character. Yeah. I love the whole idea that he was an ice cream by trade. I love the fact, like, oh man, this guy was gonna make a whole career out of it. You know, he's determined to retire on ice cream.
Maybe he saved up and one day bought a fleet of fucking ice cream trucks and he's collecting it.
Yeah, all those kids are gonna go ahead and work him into retirement. You know, yeah. Buying all his ice cream, his popsicles, and all that.
CEO of Bannister Ice Cream Enterprises. I don't know, but you know, the thing is, yeah, with this one. Okay, so you pop for the return of two primary originals like Jody and Mike. They don't appear frequently enough or prominently enough, and they could have done so much better of a job, like adding a horror element to this by showing more often, showing Mike entrapped in prison in the fortress layer dimension of the tall man and suffering and being afraid and wanting out, and then it's the search to get him out. And yeah, they eventually do rescue him, but it's like, it's just in such a shitty way that it doesn't build up to it, and you don't feel the emotional rush when he's free like you should. And Reggie, we all like the guy. He's a cool guy and everything, you know. Plays guitar, sells ice cream. He's a laid-back, chill guy. He reminds me of, like, let me ask you this. Y'all, and I guess for me it's a little different because my dad, you know, he's kind of like a straightforward kind of guy, you know. And Joe, I know your dad's kind of like, you know, the dad that, you know, played guitar and, you know, movies and all, then boxing and all that stuff. He was a cool dude and everything. My dad was just kind of a straightforward guy, you know, got drafted during Vietnam, all that shit. So you meet your dad's friends, and, you know, your parents always have that one friend who's their age, but they're, like, cooler than their age, you know? Mm-hmm. And my dad's got a couple friends like that, and that's what Reggie reminds me of. He reminds me of that cool friend of your parents.
Yeah,
but that doesn't mean he should be the main, center, prominently featured character.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed him, but yeah, I mean, seeing part one, like each of these films are so different. You know what I mean? They really are. Like, it's like, not just the way they. I mean, the only thing that's consistent is the tall man, but you know, the way part one structured where like Jody and Mike are like, they're the core. And then part two, it completely changes. We have a new Mike. So it doesn't even feel like it's Mike, you know, and then Reggie's now like the main guy. And then this one now is just Reggie. We meet new characters that we want to like, but they just kind of like scatter off and all that shit. So we're kind of like, at least me, when this ended, I was like, man, I want to know what happens, you know, and that's something consistent. Like after part one, I didn't think, you know, knowing that there was, you know, sequels, but you're like, well, what can happen? It's like part two where they kind of explain, well, the tall man's after Mike and all this and that. And then Mike goes, I don't know what you mean, when he's in that little crypt. But for me, I want to know y'all's rating. But for me, I give this one, you know, I don't know what I gave it last time. But after, I'm glad I got to re-rate them because After watching them all, I would like give them a little bit different, but I would give this one a I'm gonna go ahead and say a 6.5 out of 10, dude. After really getting through all this series, maybe a 7, you know, on a, if I'm feeling like happy, but like 6.5 out of 10 for me.
I'm going in with a strong 7. It's I think on the previous one, part 2, I gave it 8.5, and I think on part 1 I gave it an 8. On this one I give it a strong 7 because it just kind of dragged down a little bit, and there was just so much I enjoyed it, but there was just little tidbits here and there that just kind of irked me in the wrong way, where I'm just like, come on, you know, Rocky's just going to walk off. She actually doesn't die, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, we always kind of hope for some of these characters to survive, and I'm glad, you know, Rocky got to survive, but she just kind of walked off saying, no, kicking the tall man's ass isn't my gig. I'm going to go do something else. I'm like, oh. Yeah. That's it? That's your excuse for walking off?
Yeah.
So, just little things. I'm going to have to go with a strong 7 on this one. It wasn't amazing, but it wasn't the worst. I could rewatch this, but I would have to... There has to be more people to be, you know, with me on it to say whether they want to or not.
You'd probably have to be doing a Phantasm franchise podcast to want to watch it again.
Yeah, probably.
See who does that.
See who does that. Yeah, Chris, your rating and thoughts, dude, or rating and reason there, I guess. But yeah, I agree with the 7. I was like 6.57. I'll go ahead and match you. I'll match you to it, dude. 7 up. All right, Chris.
I'm gonna give it a 7.25. I like.
Is this Dave Meltzer? You fucking doing wrestling? If it was Tokyo.
Tokyo, no, man.
It was in Japan, or whatever he says and shit.
If they, you know, would have been 6.25 had they been in Japan. But no, I'm gonna give it a 7.25, and here's why: because I pop for the return of characters. You pop for the real Mike, not that James LaGrosse, you know, Robbie Keane. You pop for Jody, although you know, not featured frequently enough or prominently enough. Very, very poor handling of the storyline and how they present what's going on. Too much comedy. But excellent, like I said before, excellent imagery, especially of the tall man. And the storyline, like the way the movie ends, leaves you on a cliffhanger, like feeling sorry for Reggie, wondering what's going to ultimately happen to Mike. You see his brain gets infiltrated and all this stuff. So it leaves you wondering, which is, you know, that's how you get people coming back, is leave them on a cliffhanger, make them begging for more. That's good. That's good writing.
Just don't leave your girl begging for more. That means it wasn't good enough. You know what I'm saying?
Well, it depends on one's perspective. But
yeah.
But I'm going to give us a rock solid 7.25. Definitely a lot of areas of room for improvement. But overall, not terrible. Not bad.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed it. I mean, I feel good giving it a 7. It's a fun film. I would have liked for it to go in a different direction. Like I said, the tall man's great as always. Reggie's really badass, kind of Army of Darkness kind of feel to it. But we still got 2 more films to go, so I hope you guys enjoyed this one. And Chris, how about on the next Phantasm podcast, we ram a stake through his goddamn heart.
Man, you're full of shit. That mother's strong.